The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. You're as welcome as can be.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Alvin, I'm going to play the role of Eric Metaxas.
Yeah,
you play the role of Alvin. And
if you
don't mind, I would like to tell the audience who our guest is today.
Please do.
Well, I'd like to. I don't know if I should. Well, okay, I will. It's Dick Morris. He's going to be in the studio today, sitting where you're sitting.
Oh, boy.
In that very chair.
Whew.
Now, we have not seen him in person in a long time. He's had some serious health stuff. He is obviously doing great because we've had him on the program on Skype. Dick Morris, if you don't know who he is, because there are a lot of people out there who don't know, and I know that. Dick Morris is a legend in the world of politics. In the 90s, I can't say this when Dick is sitting in the chair, so I got to say it here. In the 90s, when Bill Clinton was, you know, at the peak of his popularity, Time Magazine did one of those things that you realize, oops, they shouldn't have done that. They made it seem like Dick Morris was the brains behind the Clinton campaign. Now, the problem is that's true. He was the one that came up with the idea of triangulation, which is when, you know, you say to somebody like, because they took a bath in the midterms. The midterms were 1994. So look, Clinton comes in 92. In 94, Newt Gingrich comes in and the Democrats are wiped out.
Yeah.
And this is when Dick Morris advises Clinton, because Dick Morris was then a Democrat. He's far from that today. He advised him to triangulate, to work with the Republican majority, to declare the era of big government is over, whatever. So Dick Morris is a political genius, and he worked with the Clintons a lot. But he then migrated to be a conservative. He helped Trump a lot, and he's working right now. He is absolutely convinced, as am I, that Trump, not only will he run, he will be reelected, and that we will have substantive change in America, the kind of change people have been praying about and wishing for and hoping for. So he's a big deal.
Yes.
Dick Morris is a legend in the world of politics and polling.
Yeah, and he has no bones about it. His new book is called The Return.
Yeah.
And that means the return of
So he's going to be here in just a couple of minutes. I want to underscore that. Sometimes I want to brag on my guests when they're not here so I can say things. He's a big deal. Dick Morris is a big deal. He's a humble man. He's a sweet man.
And he's a fun guy, too.
And he's serious about his faith, about following God. I met him on a plane in 2007. My Amazing Grace book had just come out, and I saw him on a plane. I gave him a copy of the book, and he could not have been friendlier to me. I'm a nobody. This guy's on TV all the time. He was super friendly, super sweet, so I've known him through the years. All right, so we want to say that. Now, we were going to have Charlie Kirk on today. There was some kind of a scheduling glitch. We love Charlie Kirk so much that we know we're going to have him on like in the next week or two to talk. He's got a new book coming out, but we just love Charlie, and we're looking forward to that. All right. We've also got Greg Laurie coming up, Jonathan Kahn coming up. Tomorrow we've got a segment of Ask Metaxas. Now, I got to say another thing. I'm flying to Washington, D.C. today. Not by myself. I just want to be clear. Mm-hmm. I always use a plane because I really wouldn't know how to do it any other way. But Orville Wright and Wilbur Wright, in their day, planes didn't exist.
No.
And they said, we want to fly. And so they invented what we like to call the airplane. And in 1903, we know the first flight was 12 seconds.
Something like that.
But on this date, July 27th, 1909, which is exactly 113 years ago today. Mm-hmm. Albin, you told me.
Orville Wright, he set a record for staying aloft. They call it aloft. 1 hour and 12 minutes and 40 seconds. Unfortunately, he thought he could fly across the Atlantic, so he ended up an hour later.
In the drink. No, but so.
But it was noble.
But the serious part of this is that from 1903, they went from 12 seconds to, over the course of time, figuring it out so that in 1909, he was able to fly for an hour in the air. Now, think about this. 5 years later, you have the beginning of World War I, and there were fighter pilots in World War I, the technology,
we think
our technology is amazing. Think about that. They go from nothing to having, the Red Baron, flying around with machine guns in the air.
That's a great perspective on that. I never even thought of that.
That's what I'm here for. Great perspective.
All
right, so that happened on this day in history. What else happened on this day in history?
In 1940, a famous cartoon character was born in a movie called The Wild Hare. It was Bugs Bunny.
So in 1940, Bugs Bunny was born, and it's hard to believe that he didn't exist in the 30s. So there are no cartoons from the 30s with any prototype of Bugs Bunny. That's very interesting, actually. I'm surprised by that. I thought he would have arisen.
I wonder if he was named after, Bugs. Wasn't there a Bugs Malone or some famous gangster or something? I wonder if Bugs Bunny, you would think it'd be Bonnie Bunny or Billy Bunny, but Bugs?
I don't know. We can look that up. And we really should look that up before we involve our audiences in these questions. Okay, so also on this day today, July 27th, 2022, we realize we have 3 days left for you to go to Nutramedics.com to use the code Eric. By the way, that's my name, Nutramedics.com. And if you order stevia, melatonin, vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, magnesium, all the stuff from your immune system, all that stuff, plus all the other stuff they've got, they are offering 30% off this month only. So that means as of today, we have 3 days left. Folks, I want to tell you to take advantage of this offer. 30% is a lot. And everywhere I go, people say Nutramedics is next level, like they're the best. And they use 50% of their profits they give to missions organizations. These are good people. Same thing with Mike Lindell. If you're inclined to spend money, why don't you spend it at mypillow.com or mystore.com. Spend your money in places where people share our values. Always use the code Eric. And please tell your friends to use the code Eric to help this radio program, since that's our sponsor. But we believe in these products. We believe in the people behind these products. They are making not just quality products, but they're making a difference in the culture. And I just want to encourage you along those lines. Oh, speaking of which, also, SalemNow.com. We want you to go to SalemNow.com, support SalemNow.com. There's a raft of great stuff there. There's a new film out by Michelle Obama 2024. It's kind of crazy who's going to be running. We're going to ask Dick Morris about this any second. SalemNow.com, Michelle Obama 2024. Obviously, you can see 2,000 Mules there. And if you haven't seen it, you really should be clear with your friends and everything that you're a communist.
Yes. And Jonathan Kahn's film. We're going to have Jonathan tomorrow, hopefully, about the Harbinger. So that's great stuff.
I'm sorry. I don't want to forget also to say that I did say that I'm flying to D.C. I'm speaking at a Young Americans for Freedom thing.
Yes.
And I think Mike Pence spoke there yesterday. I think I'm going to give the rebuttal to what Mike Pence said.
What was it? The front page of the New York Times or something, or the Journal today, had Pence and Donald Trump side by side saying two visions of America or something like that, right on the front page.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I would like, I'm going to go with Trump's vision. How about that? Okay. Also tomorrow I'm going to be doing Kennedy, from Fox Business Channel. Kennedy, we got to know each other when I was at Freedom Fest in Las Vegas, and she's having me on her podcast tomorrow. I don't know when that's going to air. I actually don't want to forget to say this. This is maybe the most important thing. Next week, we're taping 4 inaugural episodes of this show.
Mm-hmm. Get ready. Get ready, folks. Get ready. You are going to...
I still have a cold. No, not this show. The late night talk show.
Yeah.
We want you to be there. Danny Bonaducci is going to be there. George Hamilton's going to be there. Vincent Pastore of The Sopranos, the supermodel Carol Alt. Lots of other surprises. We're not guaranteeing some of these yet, but those four are guaranteed. I mean, it's a big deal. We want you to be there. So you have to go to ericmetaxas.com under speaking. You'll see how you can go. If you know anybody in New York, if you can get to New York, we really want you to be in the audience any of those
days. And they're free tickets,
totally
by the
free.
Way.
We're going to meet and greet and hang out and mingle. But this is going to be insane. It's going to be historic. Please check it out. And they said you were going to put me on the shelf. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the three-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
Promises made. Promises kept. I told you that Dick Morris would be in the studio, and look, here he is. Dick, welcome.
Thank you.
Honestly, I'm thrilled to see you in person just because it's been a while, not just with COVID. You've had health issues. Your wife, Eileen, has had serious health issues. So it's been a while, and it's good to see you.
I had tongue cancer.
Yeah.
Which for a pundit is near death. But I recovered and had radiation. And I decided when I was sick that getting Trump reelected was going to be my mission.
Now, that's interesting because, I mean, I've heard you talk about this. You talked about it a little bit on the air with us, I don't know, a week or so ago. But I'm convinced, and you're convinced, that there is no one but Donald Trump who will be the GOP nominee and no one but Trump who can win. He must win.
Yeah.
But you have a much closer view of things. So what is your view of the thing?
Well, two levels here, Eric. First, that Trump should win. He's the only candidate who has an incredibly valuable thing, which is tactically when you're in a campaign and you represent the challenger against the incumbent. It all goes easy in the first round when you say this is wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's the other, especially the plethora of targets we have with Joe Biden. But then the other side comes back at you and says, how do you think you can do any better? I mean, I know there's inflation, but how can you stop it? I know there are high gas prices, but what are you going to do about it? I know the borders open, but in this era, borders are porous. And the Democrats use pessimism as a disguise for their failure. They say nobody could do any better.
Right.
And what Trump can say is four words that nobody else can say. I did it already. And borders, I did it already. prosperity without inflation? I did it already. Keep down gas prices? Hey, I did that too. And that's a huge advantage.
I think one of the things that many, you know, pro-Trump people are thinking is that when Trump was in the first time, he was, as brilliant as he is, he was unaware of the depth of the horror that he was facing. In other words, the people that had it out for him from before he was elected and who really had no scruples about doing anything they could to stop him, to undermine him at every turn. What would he do in a second term? I think I read yesterday someplace that, you know, he had a plan to do what everybody, I think, would say, drain the swamp, fire every single bureaucrat who is not willing to work with you.
Yeah, well, there's a proposal he made, which he ventured yesterday.
Okay.
In his, he had a two-hour speech.
Okay.
Unless you watch Newsmax, you wouldn't have seen it. See, Fox did not cover it, part of their ongoing move to the left. But he proposed, he did something when he was president with the VA, the veterans. And he said in the VA, he said that civil service rules will not apply if the administrator of the VA wants to get rid of someone because they're wrong or incompetent or not doing a good job. No proof, no court case, no nothing, just at pleasure, he can do it.
Right.
And Trump wants to put that in for the entire executive branch.
Now, could he? I mean, that's the sort of thing where
legislation. But Bill Clinton said it best. He said, "I have 2,000 people. I have thousands of people working under me, but nobody listens to me. It's like running a cemetery."
That's the famous line. It's like running a cemetery, right? And thousands of people working under me, but nobody listens to me. That strikes me as Leviathan. This is no longer the America of the founders, where the government is responsive to the will of the people.
Well, it's important to put it in its global context. Japan and Europe are run by bureaucracies, not by elected officials. I ran the campaign for the guy who got elected prime minister of Japan, a guy named Kan. And you know what he told me? He said, "I'm allowed two staff members." He's the prime minister, a typist and somebody else.
But, Dick, I don't ever want to put in a global context. Isn't the whole point that's the whole point, is that Barack Obama and Joe Biden want to put it in a global context and compare us to these other socialistic modern states. Why would we ever want to compare ourselves to these places that
I'm saying it is a negative
comparison. Yes, right.
That's where we don't want to go.
Right.
The civil service in Europe and Japan and in the U.S. to a certain extent, and that's what we have to guard against, are the new aristocracy,
right?
Just like the nobility.
Right.
And in fact, they're the same people. They just go to fancy schools that only the elites can get into. And they are the true swamp. They are the people that oppose you in government, stop you from doing stuff. They're the perfect embodiment of Newton's law, that a body in motion remains in motion in the same direction at the same speed unless acted on by an outside force. But the other question you asked is, can Donald Trump win? And is he a better prospect than the other candidates? And the first point I want to make is he is going to win. He is going to be the candidate. And if we are opposing him, if we split our ranks and people say, "Oh, I prefer DeSantis. I like Trump, but I'm worried about his personality." You're playing into the game plan of the Democrats.
Of course.
Their goal is to do to him what Ted Kennedy did to Jimmy Carter. Primaried him in 1980, split the party, and Reagan won. Now, in the first four primary states, New Hampshire, Nevada, Iowa, and South Carolina, Trump, now I've just seen the polling, some of it confidential, Trump has a double-digit lead in every state, and nationally has a 40-point lead over DeSantis.
Oh, we're talking primaries, so we're talking about, okay.
So when you talk about running somebody against Trump, you're not going to beat him, you're just going to weaken him. You're just going to split the party.
Yeah.
And the Democrats showed this strategy this year when they intervened in Republican Senate primaries and governor primaries. There are five states where the Democrats, spent $44 million trying to structure who the Republican candidate would be.
Right.
And they went to the guy they thought was the weaker of the candidates.
Right.
And so we have to guard against that this time.
Well, I really am convinced that most Americans see in Trump a hero for what they care about. And when you look around, whether it's at Pence or anybody virtually but DeSantis, you see people who manifestly don't get it. Yeah. And that's what I find almost funny, is that there's some people that have political instincts. Obviously, your former client, Bill Clinton, had great political instincts. To some extent, Barack Obama did. It's amazing when somebody like a Pence or like these other people, they don't really have good political instincts, and they would be deluded into thinking that they could sell the American public their, I don't know, mostly benign version of things. Most people know things are not benign. We're in a horrible war with
the things about Trump that make him successful are the things that people hate about him. he enforces party discipline by terror.
Yeah.
Terror.
Yeah.
There were two Republican senators that didn't toe the line, Corker of Tennessee and Flake of Arizona. He drove them out of politics. He made them anathema. They retired. They hung up. They didn't run again. So that everybody learned you don't cross Donald Trump. Kim Jong-un learned that when he said, "I have a button to blow you up." And Trump said, "Man, I have a bigger button than you do." And he never said anything for 3 years.
Yeah.
Trump is a very formidable force that is not about to be stopped. And that personality, that incredible, I called it a bull in a china shop, no pun. Yeah. And he literally, that's what you need in Washington. A nice guy can't win. Leo DeRocher, nice guy's finished last.
Well, I mean, especially now. This is not 2000. This is not 1984. We're living in a season where the Marxist madness is on full view. If that weren't the case, if we were dealing with a kinder, gentler party, if we were dealing with Tip O'Neill, it's a different story. We're emphatically not dealing with those kinds of centrist, mostly pro-American Democrats. We are dealing with madmen and madwomen. And unless you know that and respond accordingly, you're effectively useless, which is what most of the non-MAGA rhino GOP has become.
Right. It's important to remember that Trump didn't just win the nomination in 16. He orchestrated a hostile takeover of the Republican Party. And he had from the conservative wing, Cruz, from the establishment, Jeb Bush, from the wealthy Kasich. He had moderates. He had Kasich. He had each wing of the party against him. And he was just the only guy for himself. And he won. And he created a new party.
Yeah.
And that's the party that basically will govern.
Well, he created a party that reminds me of William F. Buckley's famous statement, "I'd rather be governed by the first 300 names in the Boston phone book than by the faculty of Harvard College." In other words, the people who are not messed up by living in an ideological bubble, who have to deal with normal things, those are the people that need to be running America. We need to represent those people or figure out what those people think. We'll be right back talking to Dick Morris. The new book, brand new, it's called The Return. And if you leave me now, you take away the very heart. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size, regularly priced at $89.98, is now only $39.98 with our listener promo code Eric. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable. They've got a cool, crisp feel.
They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC or just go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Use the promo code ERIC. The offer will not last very long because these Percale sheets are known to sell very quickly. Order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. That's MyPillow.com. Promo code ERIC.
Snow, cement, and ivory on top.
Folks, I'm sitting here with the great Dick Morris in the studio. The brand new book is called The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. I get asked this all the time, and I know you get asked more often than I do. But, you know, who do you think? You think Trump's going to come back? And I'm amazed that people don't understand. Of course he's going to come back. I mean, first of all, let's deal with this. It seems clear to me that the election of 2020 was stolen. Even the idea of that smoke comes out of my ears because I think, what else is there to talk about? When something that despicable could happen in a great nation like this, that's the headline. And when you're told, don't talk about that, let's move on, I know you're guilty. And so I don't ever really want to let that go because I think that it is contempt for we the people, which is to say contempt for America.
It's worse than don't talk about it. It's criminalizing talking about it.
Yeah.
Trump is about, they're trying to bar Trump from ever running again because he said the election was stolen.
Yeah.
And that's an insurrection, and that violates the 14th Amendment to try to keep Robert E. Lee out of office, and Jeff Davis.
Yeah.
And people who, like Rudy Giuliani, who prosecuted the fraud and investigated, are now accused of meddling in the election. But I mentioned to you on the radio show, I think, shall I go into that now, the Moore versus Harper case,
anything you want to talk about.
I believe voter fraud is a thing of the past. I do not think any fraud will happen in the 2024 election.
Why?
Because there is a brand new court decision coming out, brand new case called Moore versus Harper. It's destined to be one of the all-time important cases.
Today is the 27th of July.
They can hear it in the fall term.
Okay.
They'll decide it in the first 3 months or so of 23.
But you're absolutely convinced that where that's going?
Well, they wouldn't have accepted cert on it if there were four judges supporting it, which means the conservatives are for it.
Okay.
So they'll probably get five votes, maybe six.
Okay.
What it says is that the Constitution provides that the times, manner, and places of choosing, of holding an election for House and Senate, and therefore for president, are going to be determined by the state legislatures. Now, the liberal judges over 200 years have said, well, that means the states. And they're saying, no, it doesn't. It means the state legislatures. And they point to the history of the fear of usurpation of executive authority by governors and that the state.
Which is exactly what happened in 2020.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so.
So they vest it in the state legislatures. And what that means is that all of these states, all of the swing states, five of them, have passed wonderful laws to stop voter fraud. The photo ID required, no drop boxes, no excuse voting, and all that. But the governors have vetoed it. This disempowers the governors.
Will be before the 2020 election.
This ruling says that state legislatures means that neither the governor nor the attorney general nor the state courts nor the Secretary of State have any role at all in regulating elections. It's entirely the state legislature.
And what is the court that's going to determine this?
Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court.
Okay, so why has the Supreme Court, why were they, it strikes me, maybe I'm wrong, I'd love to be wrong, why were they cowards in not being willing to look at the Texas case?
Well, I write about that in my book.
The book is called The Return. It's right here by Dick Morris. What do you say? Because I have to tell you, that was a grave disappointment for most Americans.
Look, they had just approved Amy Coney Barrett a few weeks before. They were badly burned in Bush v. Gore, where they made a partisan decision on party lines to put Bush in the White House, 7-2. and they did not want to go into the middle of this fight in 2020. They were cowards.
Even though it was their duty?
It was their duty, but they were cowards. And the Democrats were threatening to pack the court. And they felt the institution had to be preserved.
Now, when you say they, don't you mean John Roberts?
Yeah, I do. But, well, he had five judges with him. But
yeah, but he had, he has power of, but they since knew, they're new to
they the, knew this case was coming up, Moore v. Harper. And I think they decided that they would punt then, but that they would change the rules when this case came up out of the melee of the election itself. And I don't like that decision, but I understand it now. I didn't before. I was harshly critical. But they really said, let's solve this problem in the light of day when the passions are lower, and let's really change it fundamentally.
But see, I'm always happy to be wrong and to be shown ignorant. And I mean that sincerely, because I don't know the law at all, and you're a lawyer and an expert
at this
stuff.
I'm just a meddler.
Well, whatever. You've lived in the world. Yeah. Your father was in the legal field. I mean, you know this world. But my question is, why it strikes me as fundamentally wrong that Roberts et al. Would consider things like the temperature of the country or whether there will be riots. I would argue it is none of your business. Yeah. It's like saying, I can't call this a strike because there are people in the crowd that are drunk and they're going to come onto the field. You're an umpire. You have one job only. How dare you worry about whether doing the right thing will have an effect? That is completely out of bounds.
I agree with you completely. There's something else I'd like to chat about. Last night, Trump spoke for 2 hours, which is longer than usual. And it was really a State of the Union speech. It wasn't about personal stuff or anything. It was outlining what he'd do in the second
term.
Okay,
we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we will deal with that. I'm thrilled to have Dick Morris in the studio. The new book, brand new, The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you.
Loving you isn't the right place.
Talking to Dick Morris, author most recently of The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. You were just, Dick, talking about yesterday, so today's the 27th, yesterday on the 26th, Trump gave a big, long speech. You said it was kind of like a State of the Union. He just went all the way across all the issues, talking about what he sees and what he would do.
What he would do in another term, second term. And one of the things he highlighted is something that I've been urging. And in the book, I write that this may be the centerpiece of his anti-crime agenda, which is to bring back stop and frisk nationally.
But how can he do that? In other words, I thought this was a city-by-city kind of decision.
Yeah, but there's every way to do that. You can condition federal funding on having stop and frisk, like the Law Enforcement Assistance Act, LEAA. You can say, if you don't do stop and frisk, you're not going to get that money, and you can basically force it.
Right.
The point about stop and frisk, first of all, just what it is that Giuliani and then Bloomberg had it. And it's lowered the murder rate from 2,000 to 480, and then was thrown out by the courts. And what it was if you see a guy walking suspiciously at 4 in the morning or 2 in the morning in a high-crime neighborhood, and he appears to have some bulge in his pocket, you can pat him down. And if it isn't a gun, he's fine. You just let him go. But if it is a gun and it's loaded and it's not registered, you can arrest him, and he gets 3-year minimum sentence. The court threw it out because they said looking at someone on the street is not probable cause. But Trump's concept is we now have technology where you can remotely scan somebody with a metal scanner, like what they do in airports. And if it goes off, you don't know it's a gun, but you know they have metal in their pockets. And it's midnight, 4 in the morning, they're at a high-crime neighborhood. That's probable cause to pat him down. And I call it gun control for criminals. Because it has nothing to do.
Wouldn't that be nice if we could have some gun control for criminals?
For
That'd
criminals.
Be a great idea.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's – and then the other thing that was in his speech that was so important is the proposal for extra police officers funded by the feds. One of the big things Bill Clinton did that really brought down crime was he added 100,000 cops to our nation's force. And that was a big part of his program, if you remember. And he expanded the number of cops in the U.S. from about 500,000 to 600,000. And that enabled community-based policing and all kinds of stuff that really brought the crime rate crashing. So he's doing those two programs that are wonderful. And he really outlined them very specifically in the speech. And I was thrilled. I say in The Return, my book, that the three issues that will dominate the election are inflation, crime, and immigration. And he really outlined very important programs on this stuff.
Well, what's interesting is that, you know, anybody who observed him in his first term saw that he's a man of profound common sense. He sees things, he figures out a way to deal with it, and he is not hamstrung by political opinion. He really does care about solving the problem. And anybody paying any attention understands we have so many disasters unfolding in America. And when I say disasters, I mean that harm people. The people's lives are being destroyed because of ineffective, obtuse, selfish politicians. And so I think there's a hunger for somebody to come in and say, how can we fix this? And let's figure out how to fix it.
Well, I think that it goes beyond mistakes. The reason we have high gas prices is because the Democrats want high gas prices.
Correct.
Because that's how the Europeans live, and
yeah.
that's how they stop people from driving.
Yeah.
And they're in small countries like Holland,
yeah.
Where you don't necessarily need to drive. You can bike from one end to the other easily.
Yeah.
And this is what they want to do. This is their strategy for dealing with what they consider to be climate change. And Trump is really putting that aside and really acting on behalf of the people. Let me put it in this context. The Republican Party is a layer cake. The first layer was the free enterprise layer. That's been there since the 20s. Second layer is national security. That's been there since Eisenhower. The third layer is social programs. That's been there since Reagan, abortion and stuff. And the fourth layer that Trump added is pro-America. And he broke through the economic law that said you don't touch this stuff. You have free trade. You have free flow of labor. And he said, the heck with that. I'm going to do what's in the interests of the American people. And that's why the rhinos and the establishment oppose him. That lies at the heart of the DeSantis campaign and the Pence campaign. People who basically are orthodox, conservative, economic types who don't approve of Donald Trump breaking from that orthodoxy to enact populist programs.
Well, and also, I mean, he only breaks from that orthodoxy to some extent. I mean, there's a level of wisdom in it. There was a time I just read a biography of Wilhelm Rupke, the economist German-Swiss economist. But, I mean, when the whole world is going socialist, you can see an argument needs to be made for free trade and for, you know, not worrying so much about borders. We're going to try. We all get that. But we're now living in a time when globalism is really the bigger threat than nationalism, you know, unless you're a Kool-Aid-drinking Democrat. And you understand that there is a vital issue in preserving our sovereignty and in making sure that things are okay here first. And I really am amazed at a lot of these fiscal conservatives who almost don't seem to care about America. They care more about free trade than about America.
But globalism has one defect. There are no global elections. The power that is abrogated to the bureaucrats comes from regimes that are largely illegitimate. A majority of the people in the world are ruled by dictators or despots, and voters have nothing to say about it. Even when there are democracies, they're limited. The Europeans don't really have the level of democracy that we do. And to be governed by the elites, which is what you're talking about here, that Eisenhower warned about in his farewell address, is not any better than to be governed by aristocrats.
We won a war in 1783 because we didn't want to be governed by anyone but ourselves. And we seem to have forgotten that we've been drifting and drifting and drifting back to where we're being governed by elites. We'll be right back talking to Dick Morris. The new book is The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. Folks, I'm talking to Dick Morris. He's the author of a new book, The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback, which is going to happen. Okay, so here's a question, which you just asked me to ask you, because it's if I were a little smarter, I would have already thought of
it's
it.
Like
but
the
thank
Larry
you
King
for
show. But, you always fed Larry the questions for the next segment.
But I mean, in all seriousness, I did want to go there, but it wouldn't have occurred to me now. Who will Trump run against, do you think, in 2024?
Hillary Clinton.
That's what I thought you were going to say. Now, you've had some experiences with Hillary Clinton,
yeah,
but you survived.
Yeah, well,
here you are.
She sends me a Christmas card every year, but there's white powder on the envelope, so
yeah.
I don't open it.
Yeah, don't sniff the anthrax.
But,
okay.
Let me explain what I think is going to happen. I think that Biden will be forced to announce he's not running again after the 2022 debacle. After they lose Congress, they'll come to him and say, we can't follow your leadership again. We won't put you through the indignity of throwing you out under the 25th Amendment, but you got to say you're not running again.
Right.
And Harris has to do the same thing. And I think that Will Harris is 10 points behind Biden in every poll.
But there are people who think Biden will not survive his term, and I don't mean necessarily physically, but in any sense that somehow he will have to step down, which would mean Kamala Harris would be president, which would mean I don't know who would be vice president. There's a real scramble up ahead.
Yeah. Well, Biden chose Harris for the same reason Nixon chose Agnew, which is an insurance policy that he wouldn't be thrown out because the person in the wings was worse.
Yeah.
I think that once they're out,
Victor Davis Hanson, by the way, said that on this program yesterday, and I laughed because I thought that had never occurred to me. I mean, I'm old enough to remember Agnew
and
Nixon, but
it for a while.
Well, of course, but I'm saying it makes great sense.
Yeah.
But it had never occurred to me that that's how people looked at Agnew.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it's like a poison pill.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that when all the Democrats come out of the woodwork and run, the Democratic electorate has moved irretrievably to the left. And I think Bernie Sanders will be the initial front runner. If people say he's too old, I think AOC will get into the race and will be very prominent. Because the Democratic Party has moved very far to the left. The moderates have left it. This is a historical phenomenon. When the left-wing party loses an election, it moves to the left. It doesn't move to the center. After Reagan defeated Carter, the Democrats nominated Mondale and Dukakis before they got sane and nominated Clinton. When Thatcher beat Callahan in Britain, the next two candidates were Kinnock and Foote, far leftists, before they got sane and nominated Blair. And that's because the moderates leave the party. They say this party's unrecognizable, it's not for me, and the nominations are controlled by the extreme left. And that's what's happening now.
And, of course, the left are ideologues. They actually believe that if we only move more left, then we'd really hit it.
Right. And that will cause the party leaders to go crazy, because even they will realize that that's death for them. And they will go to Hillary, begging her to get in to stop Bernie Sanders, just like they did in 16. In 16, Hillary's candidacy was impelled by Sanders' candidacy. Sanders was running first. Nobody was challenging him, and then Hillary came out. If you understand Hillary's psychology, you see how that fits. I know her. At her core, Hillary is the girl who's very unpopular in school. and knows that she's unpopular and can't bank on popularity. So she uses intellect or connections or something else to get ahead. And I think that, and what she does in politics is she advances in disguise. Don't vote for me. I know you're not, but vote for a woman president. Don't vote for me. Vote to continue.
We're out of time. By the way, folks, don't do any of those things. We're out of time right now. We'll be back tomorrow to continue the conversation with Dick Morris. The new book is The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.